Welcome to Boundless Love Podcast. Here it's all about next level approach to love, leadership, and intimacy. I am your host, Sophia Sundari.
Hello, beautiful listeners. This episode is potentially triggering. So listen only if you feel you want to expand your energy to hold more. However, I also have to make a trigger warning to my trigger warning because my whole work is a trigger warning. And I believe that only the right people ever find me. I do not believe that if you're listening to this, that you are here by accident. I do not believe that anyone can find me by chance. We are here together because of the vibrational resonance between us. That's how you saw me, that's how you entered my field. And even if some things I may say or put out there are challenging for you in any way, we can say triggering, or better said, activating, yes, they are activating something. And sometimes the activation may happen through discomfort. But so often I've heard from my clients that something that used to feel uncomfortable for them in my expression, something that used to be triggering, like, for example, when I speak about wealth or about luxury or about sexuality or about all sorts of things, my choices of where to go, how to stay, how to live my life, what to charge even. Some people have shared that these things used to be so activating, so triggering, and now they love it and they want to learn from me and they are just like, yes, ready for it. So anyway, that was a long preface. I want to speak about how we are creating our reality, and I want to share about my assault experience and discuss if I created it. So victim is a very tricky word. Some people say, well, of course, obviously, you know, sometimes you're a victim because you were vulnerable and someone came and took something from you. Other people say, no, you're never a victim. So let's discuss. Let's look into this. So the subject of creating your reality was something that completely shook me up and changed my life. My first encounter with it was back in 2010. And then literally within 1 week of me understanding, of me reading this book of how I can move my energy in a certain way and how am I actually creating my reality in every second of my existence, my whole life changed dramatically. This is when I left Russia. This is when I went to India. This is when I started to live my dreams for the first time in my life. I have a whole episode about it, by the way. It's called Boundless Love in Me. It's one of the first episodes. And at the same time, there is so much misunderstanding when it comes to creating your reality. Some people say, oh my gosh, okay, so it means I have to be high vibe all the time. So now I am low vibe, I feel negative, I am feeling sad, I'm feeling miserable. It means I'm bad vibe, oh my gosh. And then they go on in the spiral criticizing themselves for feeling low or feeling bad. And that creates another spiral. Oh my gosh, it's a trap. Other people say, well, there are no victims, so they create their reality. So if a woman goes to a ceremony, a medicine ceremony, and she dresses in a very revealing, sensual, feminine way, it means she is asking for a certain type of attention. And then if she gets abused on that very ceremony, then, well, she asked for it, so she created this. This is then a very tricky, a certain misunderstanding that I would like to clear up. So we operate on multiple different levels. The three-dimensional level, the one that we are used to, is like where we would say that, oh, she was dressed in a sexy way, so that's why she was abused. Cringe, right? Then whatever I did, then what happened next, as a response to that, so I created it. So things like the more you work, the more money you make is from that kind of realm. This is not true. We all know that the more you work, the more money you make. It's just not true, No matter what is your job, definitely from my own experience, I can tell you as a business owner, no, 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 this is not true. Then another phrase we can say, the more giving you are, the more you receive. No, because when you give, there's no space to receive. For people, it's so hard to receive appreciation. I love to tell people how much I appreciate them, but it's so rare that someone is actually capable of receiving it. And in terms of work, we better work smart, not hard. Yeah. Where, yes, you want to direct your energy into the work. If you care about it, of course, direct your energy into it. That's what will create the progress. Where you direct your energy, this is where it goes. So women who experience abuse and they're just putting energy onto their beauty, their attractiveness, no, this is not what creates abuse. No, 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 no. And of course, in my many, many years of working with sexuality, I've met many, many women who've experienced abuse because abuse is a lot more common than we think. And most women who experienced it, and men also actually, and most of the people who experienced abuse have a hard time healing it because of that guilt. Because they go like, oh my gosh, I was provocative. Oh my gosh, I did this thing. Oh my gosh. Even often a very difficult thing is to admit that there was a pleasure in it, which is not uncommon at all. Even if you had pleasure when something like that happened, it does not mean it was right to have that experience. And if you have personally had that experience, I am so, so sorry that that happened and it shouldn't have happened. So now we will go deeper. Deeper than the 3D, because there are more levels of reality. So I want to refer to my experience of being assaulted, which was an incredibly difficult experience. And I do have another podcast episode where I speak about it. I will link it in the show notes. And I was just fresh out of that experience. So what happened was my ex-partner and I were in Costa Rica. And from the time that we arrived, everyone was emphasizing how safe it was there. So we kind of got a bit loose. And there was, what kind of energy was there between us? It seemed normal. A little bit, there was no vibrancy, there was no excitement. It was just normal. That's how I perceived it at that time. And so we were on the beach and it was after sunset. And it was like a miracle. I was just in the water and I had this experience of like feeling a little bit numb, a little bit like, oh, what's going on? I don't like to be here. I don't know what's happening. And I was dancing and singing with the water. Just I got this inspiration and I was singing to the water and I was asking to release control. So I was dancing and praying and singing. And I was singing something like, I release control. And I was asking the water to release control from me, to release anything that doesn't serve me, and so on and so forth. And then, so sunset, and suddenly all the people just vanish. And we were sitting on the beach, and like, okay, so let's go. Suddenly there's no one. And I'm like, strange, people just go like this. But okay, so we are walking. I am having my headphones in my ears. I'm talking to my mentor at that time, and I am asking her actually about the frequency of a certain amount of money. How does it feel? Because it was very normal for her to make those numbers. And for me, it was like, you know, like $500,000 a month and things like that. I'm like, I'm curious, like how did you tap into it? How did it feel? Tell me about it. I'm curious. How does this experience feel? And so we were kind of talking about that. And then I keep walking and I listen to some music. And then my ex-partner is turning towards me and he says, I'm so happy I can feel safe here walking with you. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, people and their safety, you know. I was born in Russia, okay? Like, I lived there in the 90s. I've seen a thing or two. I've traveled by myself in India. Like, I've been in the middle of, like, you don't know where I've been. I am good, okay? I'm not saying all those things here, but that's what I thought. So we keep walking, and then somehow we find that the space has changed, and he stumbled, and he was like, oh, shall we go there? Shall we go here? I'm not sure. There is a river. It was not here before. Did we miss the turn? And I feel like, no, we didn't miss the turn. But he was like in a bit of a question, like, if it's where should we go? And then the two guys are passing by, and then suddenly I feel an arm grabbing me from behind. So there was a whole bunch of emotions that I went through in that moment. And I remind you, it was a long time ago already. It was more than a year when I've done so much therapy around this, because I did not want that to sit deep inside of me. And at the same time, it's only now, more than a year later, I understood everything. But so anyway, in that very moment, I feel this arm grabbing me. I make a sound, which was something like a sound of relaxation, strangely enough. But at the same time, of course, a discomfort, because, like, who is touching me? Because if they're touching me, it means that they should know me. But who could know me? Is it a joke? But he just said that we are so safe here. And so there's a whole, like, myriad of thoughts that are happening. The next thing I realize is that I am being hit on my head with a gun. And he's holding out the gun and pointing at Oliver, at my ex-partner. And I see that this is bad. And maybe he will kill him now. And probably they will rape me. And then they are pulling on my bag. Instinctively, I'm holding my bag. Then he hits me again. My face opens where he's hitting. And I start to feel blood running down my forehead. Then I release my bag. He grabs it. And they run away. In that moment, I also realized that Oliver put down his backpack. And so they grab my bag and they run away. And I look at them running away with my bag and I'm like, what? Like, and I have this thought, like, should I stop them? Like, they have my bag. There's like things. I just took out a whole bunch of cash out of the ATM. There's my whole life. There's my driving license. There's my residency card. There's like important things in there. And then they're running away with it. And then I don't know what to do in this moment. And then I realize, okay, we have to go. And in this moment, so all of that is basically within probably 10, 15 seconds it all happens. Maybe 20, I don't know, but a very short time. And so then we are walking away. And Oliver said, okay, let's go. He's asking me, how do I feel? And I say, I have no idea how I feel. Then he's asking me if I can run. I say, okay, yes, I can run. At the same time, the blood is running down my face. And then we find the guards and they take care of us. And then the police comes. And when police came, I thought, well, it's a joke. You know, what can police do? Just forget it. Okay, somehow we survived. I was actually surprised they ran away. I didn't understand. Okay, they took my bag, but... Okay, then I was like, okay, so they robbed me. That's what happened. And so we stay there. I think it's ridiculous that I'm there. I think I need to go home. All I'm doing right away is I'm just telling myself that I love myself. That even though I feel completely disoriented, I don't know what's going on, I profoundly love and accept myself. I just hold my heart. I'm wiping the blood from my face. They're giving me some kind of paper. I looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, oh my gosh, what the hell? And then I'm having this question, why? Why did I create it? You know, conscious human being. What else can I ask myself? Why did I create it? What's going on? And then we are finally driving back after we've talked to the police and so on. The police was really, really kind. I was surprised, but still I didn't believe that they could do anything. And then we are driving away and we are receiving a phone call from the police and they said they found the guy. They caught him. So then I come home and I stay home alone. I'm definitely not in shape to go down to see the guy that they caught. But Oliver goes back and then turns out that, yes, they actually caught the guy. Basically, the police was so connected to us, to the story, that they caught the guy right away. He was literally crossing the road in front of the police car. And the craziest thing is that he had my bag. Some other things were not there, that some of my possessions, and it was like probably 4,000 euro worth of things that actually I had in my bag. So they distributed those amongst each other, like my phone and some other things. I had my ring there, my Kindle, some, like, I had a whole bunch of things. And so they basically distributed those, but the guy that they caught had all the money and all the documents. This doesn't happen, that people get assaulted and robbed and then everything, or, you know, the money, particularly the cash, comes back. And so, of course, there are many more details that I'm not going into now, because what I want to share with you is what happened afterwards, the different responses, and also what finally created a complete whole picture for me. So we're just getting started. So the first response was, I love myself. Yes, it was extremely disorienting. You know, there was all those moments and this strange enjoyment, pleasure that I felt in that moment, and incredible pain and complete confusion and being very, like, just not knowing what to do, to run after them or what. Still, when this whole thing got complete, first thing I said to myself, I love myself. I love you, my heart. I love you, my heart. Then the following day, we had to go to the police to identify the guy. I had this massive bump on my face, a wound, and we went to the police. And I was okay. I felt okay. I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's not so bad. So we went and we identified the guy. It was very easy to identify him, although I didn't see him, but I really could instantly recognize his energy. And they asked us, what is your demand? And I'm like, well, I just want all my things back. And besides that, I wish the guy to heal, because if he did something like that, it means he has some serious trauma to heal. So I wish him that. Sounds very conscious, right? So then we went to the beach. I said, I want to go to the beach. I want to go search. Maybe they throw away my things. I want to go. I want to do something. And so we were there in that place where it happened. And I was just there, you know, like less than 24 hours, like walking around, feeling strong. Everyone on the beach already knew about what happened. People were looking at me, talking to me, seeing my bump on the face. And so later I realized I was in shock. Yeah, when you're in shock, you just don't feel. I was in freeze, although I was very functional and I was very determined, but it was this coping mechanism, yeah, to get into freeze. The nervous system is so wise, because sometimes you just really have to run. You cannot just collapse. And so, yeah, I went into the shock. I didn't recognize it in the moment, of course. I just thought, I'm fine. The next response was very challenging. It was a response of fear of all men and expecting to be attacked. And that was very challenging for me, because I've never experienced this in my entire life. I love men profoundly. I have been blessed with incredible men in my life, with incredible examples. I'm expecting from men to be good people. Of course, just as much as from women, but still with men, to be scared of them, that was very interesting. Everywhere. Even I would go to dance and I saw that I was getting very uncomfortable around men. And some of my clients experienced that, and now I could understand them so much better from my direct experience. Because yes, I know how to work with it with my clients. Yeah, slowing down, waiting until the body feels safe. There are lots of things we can do here. But to have direct experience of that was fascinating. Then I had the response of anger. I got angry. I got angry with the guy. I got angry with how slow the whole process was going. It's still not even complete, by the way, because it's pretty slow in Costa Rica. And I was angry with the why. Why did that happen? Why did I create that again? Yeah, why? And when we are asking the why on this level, we're not going to go too far. But it was important for me to feel the anger. It was important to connect to this fire that anger holds. Then I went into inquiry. Yeah, just deeper looking into what happened. From there, we went into questioning the relationship, which didn't even seem to be related. But we went into questioning the relationship. It seemed like the relationship was wrong. But underneath it, which I could see, and we could see together, was that it was still the frequency of that assault, where I felt unprotected, he felt he couldn't show up for me, he felt guilty, I felt unsafe, I felt unmet, and so that was definitely not the right reason to break up. So we managed to move through it, but it was a strong one. We were close to breaking up already at that point. Then, later on, and within that, in all these phases, I was doing a lot of therapy. At some point in my therapy session, my therapist asked me, can you look around to make sure you're safe? Just register the space around yourself. And every time she would tell me, I would just look in front of me. In front, to the right, to the left. In front, to the right, to the left. And then one time she asked me, look around to make sure it's safe. And then I turned back to one side and to the other side. And then I started to cry and cry and cry. And she was crying too, because we realized it was the first time I managed to do that. To turn towards the direction from where the guy actually came to the back. So there were all those layers. And I saw, yeah, it was interesting for me that somehow there was this conversation around money, and then the money came back to me, and you know, in the local currency, like I changed a few hundred, and then in the local currency it was a huge pack of money. I even, when I went to the police to pick it up, they spread it onto like a cardboard. I had all this money that I was picking up from police. Everything was there. Okay, so that was interesting. I was just talking about money, then I got all the money back. Then I was having this experience of being scared of men, understanding the depth of what such a trauma can create. But still, it didn't feel quite complete. Yes, it shook up our relationship. Yes, we saw some things. And still, not quite complete. Then, a lot later, almost a year later, we broke up for another reason. For a reason that is just like honest reason that we actually just know that we're not going to get married, we're not going to be each other's life partner. And in depth, we've always known it, actually. In fact, when we just came together, we knew it was not meant to be for a long time. It was just like, you know, this moment. When I met him, I found him very attractive, and at the same time, I knew that was not to last. But then I opened, and when a woman opens her body, she opens her heart, you want it or not. And then I opened more, of course, and then we decided to make it work. And I'm a person like this. When I decide to make something work, I'm going to make it work. And he is also a person like that. And in that decision, there was a lot of beauty in, like, okay, just saying yes. Yes, let's make it work. Yes, let's open to it. And I don't regret a second of it. And at the same time, in a decision, sometimes there may be conditioning, especially in relationships, because relationships always bring up stuff for us. They always bring up childhood patterns, childhood wounding. And this tendency for us, for example, there was a strong tendency to prioritize harmony, which I was always saying, oh my gosh, it's the most harmonious relationship I've ever had in my life. It's the most amount of harmony to live with someone. It's the most amount of harmony I've ever could imagine with a human being. But harmony can have a shadow side. And the shadow side of harmony is suppression. Because you put harmony so, so high up on a pedestal that you don't even realize when you start to suppress in order to sustain that harmony. So the decision really, in the biggest sense for us, has to be to open to life, to open to the highest unfolding, to the supreme destiny, to decide to trust the unfolding. But when you get invested into something, your mind can play a game. Your mind can take a strong grip over something. And your patterns may add extra force into that grip. I want to make things work. But then in the process, I personally didn't even realize I started to withdraw from my innermost truth, not giving myself enough spaciousness. When you're deep in a relationship, you have a tremendous opportunity to heal, to heal. So of course, I had to experience that. I am so grateful for every second of it, because I could dive into those patterns. That was the gift of our relationship alongside many others. But that was one of the core gifts, to dive into those particular subconscious patterns that our synergy was bringing to the surface. And not straight away. Some of them straight away. Others not straight away. And the breakup was the highest form of love for us. The breakup opened a whole portal of healing for me. It's like, you know, this is love. Love. Really. Love, not as this romantic, let's walk under the moon together and die on the same day, but love as in this living, breathing experience of aliveness of life. But in every relationship, we get to heal. We get to heal. And this is such a gift. Such a gift. Once we broke up, I could see this tendency to sacrifice for harmony, to sacrifice the true life of me, a true freedom of being me. So when we value harmony so much, it may come at an expense of parts of us falling into coma and creating the suppression. And back to that assault experience, how did I create it? I created it because things got so tight inside of me, so tight inside of the relationship, where it was time for my breaking free. It was time for me to let go on yet a whole other level. And I could not. I was scared. And it was taking so much energy to hold on. I was tired a lot. I was exhausting myself with this grip of holding on. No, I have to make it work. No, I have to make it work. And so that prayer, I release control, I surrender and let go. Of course, all your prayers are answered, always. And then this conversation about this expansion and wealth, tapping into those completely new levels of wealth, it's all about money, actually. Money is simply a representation of what it actually means. Of that expansion of all the different ways and how we can be limitless. And so I was like, okay, how can I hold more energy? That's what I was asking. That, of course, also includes the energy of money. And then the guy coming and grabbing me and me having this relaxation that is at least for a second. I don't have to hold it. I don't have to hold my righteousness that I will make it work. Someone came to grab me in the most brutal way. But a part of me enjoyed it, you know? And I'm not ashamed of it. And I don't feel guilty for it. I didn't ask for it. No, it's the last thing I wanted on the 3D level. But that's exactly what I wanted on a higher level. To get a crack in my face in the one I've taken myself to be. In the mask I started to wear. Yes. And you know, I'm saying this on one level, but I hope you understand that on a very practical human level, I really didn't like this experience. And I'm not happy it happened to me. But on another level that is also available to me in this very moment, I feel so free because I can say, whatever. It was a part of the game I decided to play in this incarnation. I decided to experience what it feels like to suppress myself completely. Because I wanted to see what's on the other side of it. How is it to come home to myself again and again and again? Forgetting is a part of remembering, you know? And awakening is such a fascinating process because there's no limit to it. And sometimes people feel just so, so guilty for having such setups in life. I certainly had a moment of like, what? Why? But I know that my trust is bigger than my why. And even when I was trying to analyze and understand, my trust was also there saying, it's perfect. It's all perfect. Always. It's all always perfect. Everything that's happening is taking you home. It's all always, always, always perfect. So, beautiful humans, thank you so much for tuning in with me in this episode. If you know that you want to come closer and you want to create reality completely, freely, completely, limitlessly, and loving yourself through all of it, even if there are parts of you that you do not see, even if it feels so vulnerable, you know, I'm sharing this story and it may come across as such a vulnerable story, and it is, but such is the nature of human heart. It is meant to be vulnerable. It is meant to be open. So if you want to enter into that space of such deep love for yourself, for this life, for this infinity, then I would love to meet you. I would love to dance with you. And there's a really powerful way for you to connect with the field of my work in person. Normally I run my immersions, which are deep and immersive and require a lot of commitment from you. But I also am running this 3-day ecstatic remembrance event, which is an invitation for you to embody the divine that you are. And we are having an event coming up, and there we will be remembering through it all. You will see that the work is so, so deep. And 3 days may seem like not a lot of time, but when you fully dive into these 3 days with full commitment to yourself, you get so much out of it. And when we come together in person and you show up with that radiant commitment, wow, so much can be done in 3 days, my people. So much. Because we are focusing on undoing the knots that exist in your subconscious mind. And it will take you much faster than a year that it took me to see those patterns. You will see patterns just like popping and flashing and moving out of your system just like that. But not only this, because we don't dwell and indulge in the level of the patterns. Be attuned to the highest accessible vibration of your soul. And that makes it just so much more vibrant and so much more fast and so much more beautiful. And we also do not abandon the body. We activate the energy body to truly shine and hold more of you and all the goodness of life. This expansion, yeah, that takes place in all areas of your life, in the level of your purpose, how expressed you feel in your purpose, at the level of your love life and intimacy, at the level of your wealth and money. So Ecstatic Remembrance is open for enrollment. We are coming together on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, so 3-day event of May in Portugal. And it is also a part of Sundari Temple. So that's a deeper dive together, a committed relationship, we can say. So I will leave the links in the show notes for you. And Ecstatic Remembrance is currently on pre-sale, so it's a very good time to join. Also, if you want to stay in our stunning hotel, which is very stunning, if you want to stay there, you want to secure your spot as soon as possible, because there are less rooms than participants. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a really valuable part of this community, whether you are new, whether you are oldie. But know that I appreciate you so deeply, and I'd love to have you at this exuberant get-together that I'm really envisioning as a yearly experience for my community to come tap into the portal that takes you into your highest accessible vibration and move into your life shining as the radiant, vibrant light that you are, easily opening to the abundance, prosperity, and blessings of this existence.